Welcome back, everybody, to the Stark Wars podcast, where we talk all things Marvel, Star Wars, and everything in between. Please take a moment to check our show notes to find our social media, merch, and more. Today, we are talking about Ahsoka, Far, Far Away, in full spoiler details. So if you haven't seen the episode, I would get out of here. And now I realize this show is called Ahsoka, and there was no Ahsoka in the actual episode. So I was a little concerned that we wouldn't even get Tommy here today, but we do luckily do have Tommy. Tommy, how's it going?
Of course I'm here, Michael, and I'm doing well, just as the threads of Destiny predicted, just as they foreseen. I am here. We got like a quick story time with Ahsoka at the beginning. She's busy, you know, reading bedtime stories with Huang. So
I was a little worried. I was like, please don't go into a story here, and they dodged it. They dodged it.
To be honest, I wouldn't. Can that be like a deleted scene? We see like the full, you know, full story time. You know, though, I do appreciate it because we see these long ship rides all the time. They probably do get bored. There is tons of conversations happening like that of like, well, you got anything new to tell me? All right.
Yeah. See, I'm wondering, actually, I don't hate the idea of like, not necessarily even deleted scenes, but like, what if there was like more like online content, like maybe like, a, you know, I don't know if like Disney's trying to shorten these episodes, and probably the truth is like, they don't have the money to make episodes any longer.
Yeah.
But you know, it'd be cool to have like, you know, not again, not maybe it's still canon, but it doesn't really matter. Like a little clip online or something.
Yeah. Or like a fun, again, this is like if we had unlimited money. But honestly, Disney, you might. So I mean, I'm looking at you. I
literally do. If anybody,
but like, yeah, like fun, like animation shorts could be fun too.
Yeah,
you know, done in a very fun style.
Yeah, I'd like to see, like, you know, there's been a lot of fan art. I shared it on our Instagram, fan art of Baylan and Shin as in like the original Clone Wars style. And, you know, like stuff like that would be cool. We could get some of that.
Gosh, can I? I love Baylan. I think he might be my favorite like villain in a very long. I just, you know, he's so fascinating to me, and I'm very sad that the actor has passed away. I'm like, the more I watch, the more I just get sad about that fact.
He is so great, and I'll be honest, I wasn't fully on board with a lot of his motivations, but this episode really sold me. There were some great scenes with him and talking about like the cycle of how things go in the universe and how he kind of wants to break that and bring like some balance of his own. And like, I kind of was like, okay, I hear you, man. I'm listening.
Yeah, huge Baylan episode. I think probably the biggest, you know, obviously Sabine, big Sabine episode, big Thrawn.
Thrawn's here. Ezra's here.
Ezra's here. The Noties, they're here. Night Sister.
Tommy, I can kind of glean what you're thinking, but I mentioned this before the show that, you know, typically I get some tidbit of what you're thinking. I really don't know where you stand on this episode. Are you as high as I am on it?
Oh, my thumbs. Uh-oh. I'm so high on this episode, Michael. Yeah, I listen, where's the pacing a little... It's weird because it felt slower, but at the same time, we got so many reveals, so much lore, so much different information that, like, I'm not upset. Like, you know, we got a small combat scene with some random bandits that live on this planet. But, like, I love the whole – I'm a big Night Sister person. I love the idea that they come from a different galaxy, and that's why their magic is – like, I think that's so cool. I'm really into that and into the fact that this is now part of Star Wars lore and all that stuff. I'm into – We'll talk about Thrawn's army because I have theories there. And so, like, I think there was enough reveals in this episode. And the fact that we get Ezra right away, we don't have to spend a whole episode finding him. Like, I guess we did in this episode, but it's both the episode that ended up in the world. And I guess I would have been more upset if it ended with her going off on the Howler, cut to, and then next episode is her doing the whole Ezra thing. So I'm glad you just do it in one episode, get it done with.
Yeah, we got everybody we wanted to see. And I'll say, like, this concept of going to a new galaxy, love it. I love this choice because, you know, it's completely uncharted territory in the Star Wars universe, right? Typically, I'm watching these episodes and there'll be a creature or a name or a planet, and I'll have to be like, oh, was this in a book somewhere? Is this a reference to something? This is all new to us. This is like, we don't know where this could go. We don't know what this means. Are people going to stay here? Is it going to be important to the greater Star Wars universe down the line? I don't know. I have no idea.
They're going to have to change it. It's not in a galaxy far, far. It's in galaxies far, far away now. No, I love it too. And maybe I feel kind of silly, but for the long, like, since Rebels, I just imagine they were just floating in space. Like, I imagine this galaxy, and I guess we never knew, but I just assumed this galaxy was just going to be a random, like, abandoned wasteland. It's not. There's life. It's got things going on. There's a whole ecosystem here. It never even crossed my mind that that would be the case.
Yeah, no, I'm absolutely thrilled about all of this. I want to ask you here at the top as well. Obviously, we get this conversation with Ahsoka and Hu Yang about telling stories, and Hu Yang has the quote about in a galaxy far, far away. And then that is the title of the episode. How did you feel about this? Like, it's a little fourth wall breaking, right?
Yeah, it's a little cute. Like, it's, you know, now it is officially set in the Star Wars universe, but it's as cute as every Star Wars having. I got a bad feeling about this. Like, Star Wars is hokey, and that's part of the reason we like it. So I don't mind it. If it was, like, anything else, like any other franchise, I might be upset. But, like, Star Wars has already proven themselves that they don't mind, like, being a little tongue-in-cheek about things.
That's completely fair. Yeah, I mean, at first, it was a little jarring to me. Like, it felt like we were entering, like, a new realm of Star Wars. But I guess, really, yeah, this is the kind of thing they do all the time, so.
Yeah, just we're just used to it. That's my thing. Maybe that's what Star Wars needed to do. Just do a bunch of random things that I get so desensitized that when this stuff happens, I'm like, well, that's Star Wars. I can't really be upset.
Star Wars is gonna Star Wars, so.
Yeah.
All right, well, let's dive into the episode. And we kind of talked on Hu Yang and Ahsoka here, opening on them coming. I guess Ahsoka was in the episode. I felt like, you know, this was kind of like the Mando in the Book of Star Wars episode, but she was there for a little bit.
Sorry, you got my blood curling already mentioning Book of Star Wars. She was, but I still think your point is very little for a show called Ahsoka. This was her, like, hey, she's going to be traveling for a little bit. Let's let that happen. Let's go. I actually think that's the right move. I think if you show Ahsoka too much in this, it takes away from the, because I felt eerie. Like, as much as I was saying the pace is down, it almost worked because the whole time around, I was tense, Michael, watching this episode. I like the story time. I think, like, what I found interesting is Huang's hitting on a lot of points for Ahsoka that, like, she clearly doesn't want to address or talk about, which I like. I like that little bit of, like, pushback. And then she's like, well, okay, fine. I don't want to tell you tell stories. Okay. Let's not talk about this situation.
Yeah. Yeah. It was great to see another interesting thing here. We get, like, we kind of see hyperspace in a way we've never seen it before. It's kind of rainbowy and interesting. And it brings me back. It makes me think about the point in The Mandalorian when Grogu sees the Purrgil and he kind of reaches out to them. And it made me wonder, like, is he sensing, like, is this lining up with Mando in a way that is Grogu sensing Ahsoka in the Purrgil?
Oh, I didn't even think of, you think that was, they predicted it that far ahead, that was the Purrgil.
I mean, I like to think that Star Wars has some bit of a plan, but that's not always the case, unfortunately.
Michael, come on now.
Yeah, so.
No, I like the new effect as well, I thought.
Yeah, this is fun. So we do get Sabine here in the cell. She's locked up. One thing that I really appreciate, and, you know, Sabine is talking about, like, oh, Baylan, you made me a promise. Are you going to fulfill it? And I feel like this is something Baylan's struggling with a lot here. And I think that's another thing that adds, like, dimensions to his character where, like, you know, I feel like he kind of is, like, you know, he's got, like, the fighting style of, like, a knight, but he kind of has the loyalty of a knight too, right? Like, I feel like he truly is, like, he's kind of built on honor and integrity a little bit. And I think that's something he battled with a little bit in this episode.
Yeah. And I think that's why I really like him is because he is a villain that we really haven't seen to it. We have, but, like, to different degrees. Like, every villain I think has their own, like, code, right, that they follow. But his is such a moral code that makes it interesting. Like, multiple times we see that it's important, like, even in the acting I thought was really well done of, like, when it seemed like he might not be able to fulfill that promise, I felt that weight on Baylan, like, when they kept the shot on him, I felt the weight of that. And I think they've done a good job of set up if by chance in the next couple episodes Baylan and his apprentice decide to switch sides, or at least help Sabine and Ezra. I feel like they've done a good job of setting up that he could possibly do that.
Yeah, for sure. So that'll be interesting to track here. And my God, I don't want them to wrap up Baylan's story, but at the same time, I'm getting nervous. Like, I don't want this thread to be left in the Star Wars universe by any means.
Do you think he dies by the end of the series?
I'm kind of getting a no vibe. I don't think that they wanted. I think they had more plans for Baylan.
Yeah, and I think the only thing that could happen if he dies, it has to be so that Shin becomes the new. It's like the passing of the mantle. Yeah. That's the only way he dies. Otherwise, I think he's going to be around and be this like thread that's just out in the ether. Maybe a recast eventually, or if that's the case, or just forgotten about.
Yeah, or do the Clone Wars animations of Baylan and Shin do that.
I would watch it an animated Baylan and Shin adventures.
Just some like even not even like a full just a mini series really.
Yeah, Tales of Baylan.
That's the thing, Tales of the Jedi. That's what I've talked about this a million times. But like, there's so much ground for different looks at what being a Jedi is, and that could be a place to do it.
We should do a side note. Production talk. Hey guys, welcome to our production talk. A draft of top characters you would love to see a deeper dive into their history in like a Tales thing. I'm trying to think like what's her name, the lady with the goggles, orange skin, and the she would be interesting for me.
Maznada.
Yep, she would be interesting. Like I feel like she has a past before we met her.
I feel like it would be more fun, especially with like the precedent of Tales of the Jedi. I feel like we have to stick with the Jedi because I can think of the one I want is I want to see Princess Leia. We were told that she had some training to be a Jedi. I'd like a little Princess Leia episode there.
All right, listen, the Jedi get a lot. Can we have that's fine. We got the Tales of the Jedi. They can do that. Can we get the Tales of the ordinary people?
You want the Tales of the Naughty here, right?
Yeah. Listen. I love these Naughty. I would watch a whole. Let's do a whole series of the Naughty.
Kind of like the I Am Groot mini shorts. I feel like we could do something.
Oh, I didn't really like those though.
Oh no, my friend! Try again.
Okay. So we are pulling up on the planet of Peridia again. New planets. New species. This is all new to us, but. Morgan kind of sets up that this is like, this is basically like the Night Sisters' origin. This is where they came from. So they shuttle to the planet and there are three witches there. I'm immediately think of Macbeth. I don't know if there's any, there's gotta be some, there's always three witches, right?
Oh yeah, definitely. Macbeth vibes. And I do think three is, do you think it's like one is fine, but if you want a group, two just doesn't feel as two seems weird. I feel like three, it's like that's a power trio.
So a weird thing here is they sense that Sabine is a Jedi, which number one, we're kind of led to believe that like she doesn't have the Force, which this tells me that she might. She's giving off Jedi vibes. But also like, I'm just trying to understand because there seems to be so much separation between the galaxy we've been in and this new galaxy. Do these people even know what a Jedi is? Like, and it's not so much that they know what a Jedi is. They have like a disdain for the Jedi. They like call Sabine an it. Like, like they're treating her like an animal.
And that's what I want like way more about the Night Sisters. I have to think there's like this connection, almost like an Avatar state where it's like they can connect with other sisters, and so like the sisters then made it into the other galaxy. They know their stories, they know the history. That's the only thing that makes sense to me, because yeah, like you want to know who the or maybe Thrawn has taught them, homeschooling with Thrawn time where he gives them all the lore of his galaxy. But it seems like they already knew there's a lot here. Yeah
I mean, I think we can kind of headcanon it away to be like, oh, something happened. They know something, whatever. Who cares?
I like the sisters. There's clearly like this connection. Like they're like, oh, we reached out to you to come. Like there's clearly this connective tissue there. Do you know their names, Michael?
No.
I believe.
Like the Night Sisters or the Macbeth witches? Because I don't know neither.
Both. The Night Sisters here, they are including they are the Great Mothers. And I believe they're based a little, from my research, they're based a little bit on the Fates in Greek mythology a little bit. So it's like their names, I believe, are also similar. Ektropa, Kloththa, and Lexus.
Okay.
I'm butchering the pronunciation, but just imagine.
Yeah.
That's their names. I'm interested in more about this, more about their, and I believe there is, like, I saw quickly on Wikipedia, there might actually be like backstory about these people, but I have no idea. But that's what I see on this page on Google I found, is that's their okay. names. Now, I may have just made it up. I never know.
Yeah, it's interesting though, like, because they do seem like not only older but like more disheveled than like the Night Sisters we've seen in the past. You know, I think about Mother Talzin and Clone Wars. You know, her makeup is like kind of pristine, but these guys look like scarier and like.
I liked it. I was like really worried this was all going to come off very cheesy, and I thought the Night Sisters and the whole vibe on this like weird platform temple thing, I thought was very eerie.
Yeah, no, I love this. This is great. We also get another great scene here. I kind of touched on it. Balin and Shin have a conversation. A couple things happen here. You know, Shin asks Balin if he misses the Jedi Order. They talk about Ezra. They talk about how Shin was trained to become more than a Jedi. A lot of interesting stuff here. Anything else stand out to you in this Balin and Shin talk?
I mean, what's more than a Jedi? It just sounds like she's kind of being trained like Ahsoka. Like, that's what it kind of is like. You're a great Jedi. But no, I think it just, again, like you said before, getting more on Balin's interest, his pursuits, his wants, just makes him a more well-rounded character. I think the Shin of it all, I think it's interesting. They're giving her a little bit more, which I appreciate, because before she just kind of came off as like angry Jedi lady. But I actually think like the whole like, oh, so he was trained like me. I think there's something about she wants to be a Jedi. And I think there is this, like, there's more to it. Because I felt like she is questioning what they're doing a little bit, but she trusts Balin.
Yeah, see, I get more of the sense the other way, where Balin is struggling more with the pull between the light and the dark. Where, like, he makes the comment about, like, yeah, ideally, like on paper, the Jedi Order is a great thing, but it didn't really work out. And I feel like there's almost an element of him that wants to recreate the Jedi Order and maybe not like the same beliefs and everything, but still like, you know, this powerful coalition of Force users.
Well, I do agree with that. He definitely has some interest too. He doesn't think the Jedi are all bad. He just thinks their way was very blinded. As we've heard from other Jedi.
Yep. Okay, you want to talk about Big Buddy Thrawn? He shows up here.
Yeah. Yeah, man. He's so cool. Can we talk about that? I thought the actor did an amazing job. It's so hard to take a character that is so, like, I don't think people had complaints about animated Thrawn. Like, it's a character that I feel was pretty well done. And to take that and come in, and I feel like keep the menacingness, keep almost the smugness that Thrawn has. Oh, I wanted to punch him in the face, Michael.
You know, this is the voice actor of Thrawn from.
No wonder. I should have known that. See, this is what happens when you don't look anything up or watch trailers. I know nothing.
Yeah, you made a comment a couple weeks ago about, like, I don't know if they've even casted Thrawn or something. I was like, oh, they have, and it's the voice actor. So
That makes so much sense. And I love that Star Wars keeps doing that. We saw that with Bo. Like, we keep seeing that, and I think that's a really smart decision.
Yeah, for sure, because they totally keep the thing. I've been seeing something, you know, on Twitter a little bit, on YouTube. I don't know if it's quite body shaming or, like, daddy hunting, but, like, there's a lot of thick comments about Thrawn. I think people like the thick Thrawn. He's not as
like
lean.
They like this. Yeah.
Well, I really don't know. I've seen a lot of comments about the body of Thrawn. Well, you know, I'm growing into my thick daddy phase, so.
You know. So we're pro thick daddy Thrawn.
Yeah,
I'm pro either Thrawn. I'm pro all Thrawns.
Good.
I like his pants. I like the little fins on his pants.
Oh yeah. Those are great.
His ship, we got to see the Chimera. That was cool. I just the whole vibe here, the whole coming down and like landing perfectly on the temple. 10 out of 10. No notes. Thought this was all so the music, getting his organ theme. We didn't get it exactly like, but we get the organ there. Oh, I'm into it.
And his army here, and I know you said you might have a theory about it. I think I might be on the same page with you, but I'll let you set it up.
What if we say it at the same time, but then it ends up being not the same thing?
Let's do it. I think that's always fun.
Okay. Ready? The
they are reanimated dead zombies. Soldiers by zombies. Yeah. I didn't know how to say it. They're definitely zombies.
They're zombies, right? We set it up with I already forgot his name. Generic guy that we were really excited about. Might be Ezra, but wasn't Ezra. Merritt or something.
Merrick, yeah.
We set it up with the Night Sister magic there. I think definitely the Stormtrooper army is the Night Guard. I think they're Knights, Stormtroopers, Night Troopers. Is that what we're calling it? Night Troopers. And I like their captain. Eno, I think I saw in the subtitles. Is his name Great?
Yeah.
Mask? I want to make that right now and have that on my shelf.
You know who actually, if he is a zombie, you know, we actually talked about this pre-show, but, you know, gives me big The Mountain vibes from Game of Thrones.
Yep. You know? Yep.
So, yeah, no, this, they were so cool. You know, it also gave me like the vibes of Kylo Ren's cracked masks, but they had like cracked armor, but it was like filled in with gold and like red tape. It was just, I love this. They were so cool.
Yeah, and the mention later on when he's like, you can get two, you get two groups to go with them. I cannot give more. That also felt like a hint that, like, there's something. What if it's, like, real dark? What if he had to, like, eat his army to survive? I don't know, Michael. I don't know. And then
he's clearly been eating.
Big Daddy Thrawn. Listen. I just watched an anime where there's a tragic thing about someone having to eat their own leg to survive. Oh. So maybe that's where my mind is at.
You're all about the cannibalism, huh?
No, I don't want to be pro cannibalism. It's out there. It happens.
So the next thing we get here is where they meet up with Sabine, and they're kind of fulfilling her wish here a little bit. Thrawn's like, yeah, you helped me. I'm getting out of here. We'll help you. We'll help you go find Ezra. So. But is there another motivation here? Of course.
Of course. And I love this because this is a classic Thrawn move. Like, oh, I am so, like, of course. There's always a catch with Thrawn. You cannot trust him. And that's the only thing that's, Sabine, you know this by now. Like, come on, dude. Like, that's the only thing with Sabine that I will say. At times, it feels like she didn't learn any lessons from Rebels.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like she's come this far already, and she might even consider that there might be an ulterior motive, but I think she's just like, okay, well, I'm not staying. Ezra's not here, so I'm going to go elsewhere for sure. So I got to say, I do love, kind of like you mentioned, this is like Thrawn doing his puppeteering a little bit, which I really like, where he sends Sabine off to go find Ezra, and then he sends the mercenaries to go find Sabine and Ezra. And then later you find out, he's like, I don't actually care about any of them. We're leaving. Like, Thrawn's kind of a psycho.
It's basically, and this is the thing, it's a distraction machine, you know? Like, if he's probably already thinking about, well, you know, if Sabine and Ezra do find each other, they're going to try to come stop me. Let me send some obstacles, you know, some stuff down their path to try to slow them down so we can get off this planet as quick as possible. I again, anything with Thrawn, I thought in this episode, well, there's one, I have one critique of Thrawn at the end, but.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Yes, we'll get there. But they send Sabine off with a wolf here. This is big Dave Filoni energy. You know, he loves wolves of all types. They were in Rebels, and here's another one here. So she rides off with our little pet, her new pet.
They're called Howlers, I found, and I believe appeared in the Jedi Knight game.
Oh.
But they were more reptilian-like in that game.
Gotcha. Okay.
This is what I get for my Easter egg stuff, so.
Yeah, I like it.
Did you think she was mean? I thought she was a little too mean to the Howler. I thought the Howler should... Yeah.
I mean, it's an animal, like, and you're treating it like it's supposed to be your best friend.
An animal you just met that's been with baddies, it seems like. And now it came back to you after it could have just left after bandits attacked, and you're still being a jerk about it.
Yeah.
I didn't like this behavior from Sabine.
She's like,
goodbye, tragedy.
She went in no part of this. You abandoned me. She's like, you stupid idiot.
Do you think there's more there? Maybe she has abandonment issues. Everyone keeps abandoning Sabine, you know? Like, at the end of the day, and I hope we do get kind of an emotional moment of this, is like, Ezra did abandon Sabine. If you like, yes, it was foreplanned, and yes, it was like that. But I think there's definitely like that animosity now that he's back that could come out.
Yeah, no, I think that's a good read on the situation. Again, it's still an animal. I don't know that, you know.
Yeah, it's not Ezra.
Well, let's talk about her interaction with some of these raiders. Coolest fight scene of the series thus far, in my opinion. I really liked seeing her kick these raiders' ass. You know, she starts with her pistols, kind of like we've talked about in the past. You know, she kind of relies on the Mandalorian ways until she loses the pistols. And then she pulls out the lightsaber, and she's equally as badass. So I really loved all this.
Yeah, I do like the dual, like, you know, go with the pistols first. If that doesn't work, let's go into the lightsaber. And I've said before, I love how each battle is very unique. Each character has a different styling and a different combat level, which is really cool and something that I'm enjoying.
Yeah, so great stuff here. And what's next here? I guess this is where we've put our crab people.
Crab. Yeah. Do you like these new additions? Where do they rank in like your new critters in Star Wars lore?
Yeah, I mean, I think it ranks among, you know, Porgs and Ewoks, and, you know, I think they're up there in that echelon.
I think it's like Ewoks and then maybe these things, because I at least like over the Porgs are just dinner. Let's be honest here. That's what the point. They can't do anything.
Yeah,
they're just looking at you. At least the Na'vi are like functional and helping. You know, you can't beat the Ewoks, who basically, some would argue, without them, the war would still be happening. The Ewoks probably need more credit in the history of Star Wars.
Definitely. No, I totally agree. So I don't know that are we going to get like an Ewok-esque scene later on where, you know, these little crab people help bring down Thrawn?
Maybe. Maybe Baylan. Maybe it's like...
Oh. Well, yeah. So I'm just about to talk about this scene here where we do catch up with Baylan and Shin, and they see the raiders and they're like, hey, the enemy of our enemy is our friend. So, you know, it might be Baylan, Shin, and raiders versus Ezra, Sabine, and crabs.
The great war of the bandits versus the crab people been going on for centuries. And now, yeah, I think so. I think we'll definitely see a little battle. I think we will see Noti helping in some way.
Yeah. Now this gives me big like Planet Hulk vibes, you know, like an outsider comes to the planet and like kind of falls into their ecosystem, and then there's wars, and so it could go that way.
Yeah.
So, okay, what's next here? I guess the last thing we end on is Thrawn learning that Ahsoka is coming, possibly.
Yep.
What does this mean?
This is my issue.
Okay. All right. Let's hear it.
Well, the sense, that's interesting to me. The, like, sensing this power stirring this, like, or you know, like sensing Ahsoka, that's fine. My issue is, you're telling me. You know, and I don't remember exactly Rebels. I know she was definitely distant. He met Ahsoka, so how does he not already know her history and who, like, maybe not the master in that, because I think that was, like, hidden, the secret, especially from the Darth Vader side of things. But, like, it made it seem like he's never heard or thought about Ahsoka before. This group of Rebels is the reason you're not in their galaxy. She was a part of that. Why are we acting like Thrawn does not think and obsess over the destruction of these people? I don't know.
So, and to be fair, I'm very hazy on some of the Rebel stuff. I couldn't, even in the moment, I was like, I don't really recall like how much they had interacted. But I guess what I came down to was like, I don't know that Thrawn has had to prepare for an attack from Ahsoka and strategize in that way. And actually, I appreciated this point because that is so much of Thrawn's character, where he's like, give me the information, I'm going to study it before I attack. He's a strategist.
Well, and I think back to a Rebels episode where it's like he shows up at Hera's family planet and he already knows everything, and he's talking about the relics and how everything has a history. And so that, I guess that's my... is like, you're right, he's a planner, so I'm glad we're getting in now. Are you telling me he hasn't gotten this before? He didn't ever think to get thorough backgrounds on anyone involved with the people, with Ezra, with all these. Unless, like, the whole thing is that Thrawn does overlook some things, but I never felt that from Thrawn. Yeah. Thrawn is so thorough.
Okay, so my second devil's advocate argument here is this a way for the newcomers to Thrawn to kind of figure out how he works? Where, and also, is there going to be payoff to this? Like, is there something from Ahsoka's past that he's going to use against her? And this is just the setup for that, for the casual fans, like a lot of things have been for the show.
And I think that's what you're, I think you are right. And that's kind of what I've come down to and letting off a little, because I do think part of it's you're adapting something that people haven't necessarily watched. And so you do need to kind of put some things, you know, change some canon, because you're doing a live action where people may just be watching Ahsoka and not watching Rebels first. So I believe that. And I think, to your other point, yes, I do think, like, during their conversation, during their confronting each other, I think he like really digs into her about the Vader stuff about losing Anakin. And it probably ties it all back into her time in the world between worlds of, like, you weren't able to save him. Look what happened.
Yeah. So I guess we'll see what all this means coming up here. Anything else on the episode? I mean, there was a lot that happened. I feel like we went through it. Did I miss anything?
Ezra, maybe we could talk a little bit.
Oh yeah, I guess we're gonna talk about it.
But before that, the more important to just me, what cargo do the Night Sisters have? What is this? They act like they're like they just have all this like furniture that they want to bring up with them. How's it going to take 3 days for all their stuff to get loaded? That's my thing. Is it just like dead bodies? Or are they just, I want to know what cargo the Night Sisters need to bring with them to this galaxy.
Is it all the Night Sister stuff? Because if it was Thrawn stuff, I would be a little more, it would be more.
He might have some. Yeah.
He's a heavy packer. He's got a lot of artifacts.
I think Thrawn is definitely a hoarder. 100%. Like, you know. Well, this is, I didn't even think about this too. I'm taking my silly joke and actually making it is interesting. It's almost like if they do succeed, and I kind of hope they do, because bringing back the great grandmothers or the mothers or whatever, it's kind of reigniting Night Sisters in Star Wars world. That'd be very exciting. I love, like I said, multiple times, I love the Night Sister stuff. This would be very cool.
And I'm still a very firm believer that inevitably and very likely in the Dave Filoni movie, we're going to get a crossover with Cal and his Night Sister. What's her, Maren, I think. I think that this could all tie back together. I think that we could see her have to deal with some of this stuff.
Night Sisters come back. They take the old bodies of the Jedi that passed, and we get a zombie. We get zombie Kanan, he comes in. We get zombie Anakin. Just all, you get all the legends coming out as Night Sister zombies.
It's like Marvel zombies. We're getting Star Wars zombies.
Exactly. Like, essentially.
That's kind of cool. Actually, we saw even, was it, what's that guy's name? What's the villain from The Mandalorian? Gus Fring.
Oh, yeah, name. Gus.
Didn't he have like Jedi bodies, like frozen?
Yeah, well, he had his whole cloning. He was trying to make versions of himself kind of thing. I believe his was more of the Palpatine style. He went down the Snoke path, I think, was what. Yeah.
Okay.
That they just carries all that build up just to like kill them off and have it not. But I digress.
Is this directly going to end up with these Night Sisters reanimating Palpatine? I mean,
again?
I guess that's the answer.
Yeah,
it would be cool.
I think we're done. Like, I'm done with Palpatine. I'm done with him.
Well, here's my thing. I would like some explanation on all that. You know, I would like, you know, I don't think we need a lot. Maybe like, you know, the post-credit scene of the Dave Filoni movie is like the Night Sisters reanimating Palpatine. But then I feel like this is what Palpatine does. They bring Palpatine back to life and then he kills the Night Sisters. And then that's why they're not involved and that's why he's alive.
Are Night Sisters, this is the part of the podcast where we just throw random theories out. Are the Night Sisters going to end up being the big bads of the whole thing? Where they've been on this galaxy puppeting things with the Metachorians or whatever. They're like changing things, manipulating, whispering in people's ears, giving them things, and we find out they've been control, keeping the balance between light and dark by helping out whatever side needs it at the time, specifically the dark side mostly.
What's interesting though is like they do have such a disdain for the Jedi.
Yeah.
And if your disdain's that, like why are you working with the Sith? Like it is like two ends of the same spectrum. So I don't know. It feels a little cute to me. I don't think I almost view the Night Sisters as kind of like a pawn in this game, you know, and they're kind of they might even become a little foolish by the end of it by helping the wrong people. I can't see it ending well for the Night Sisters.
No, yeah. Well, the Night Sisters are always like the pawn that thinks they're controlling. Like they're always the people that are like, hey, don't you worry, we are taking care of things, but they're always being used by someone else, and they always get duped, and they always end up losing. They end up all dying out because they ended up trusting the wrong people. Yeah. But I digress. Ezra, though. Ezra. We see him.
We see him. He's here, baby.
I knew I could trust you, he says. Yeah. I knew you could do it. I thought he was great. Love this actor. I think he gets their chemistry is definitely there between like it felt like watching the animated characters squabble with each other a little bit. What do you think? What did you think about this whole scene?
You know, first I got chills when I saw it. You know, seeing Sabeem smile and seeing them hug, like I was so full of life watching all this. But like, I don't know. I feel like I still need to rewatch this episode. Like I'm still processing this new Ezra that we have. I don't know that I have a take just, I mean, he did great. You know,
do you like the beard?
Oh yeah. Big. I mean, look at me.
Yeah. Keeps it nice and neat trimmed.
Yeah.
Another Baylan's beard. Baylan's whole hair, like in general, great hair, loved his gray hair and loved the gray beard. Very well trimmed and well put together. I thought.
I'm very much considering a Baylan Halloween costume.
Oh, be very fun. I like this. I have seen some criticism that this didn't feel big enough. Their reactions didn't feel there was a possibility Ezra wasn't even alive or we would never see him again. And the whole emotional pull. It worked for me. I think it didn't need to be like, I don't know. I didn't need her sobbing. I didn't need like this whole, I didn't need him sobbing. I didn't need any of that. But I've heard the criticism.
So I will say there was like a tinge of that for me where I was like, it was a little too quippy. Like they just were saying the perfect things. Like this is like a miracle that they went to another galaxy and reunited. Like I just feel like I would be speechless. Like, and I wouldn't think of like the perfect response like they seem to have. So there's a little bit of that. Like I feel like
we're on a whole planet. So
yeah.
On a whole planet, she finds him in a like less than like.
Couple hours. Less
than a day, yeah, a couple hours, like a lunch break.
I mean, their day, it could have been long, you know, maybe their star cycle is different and their days look longer, but it seemed like, you know, this was like lunchtime, basically.
Like, I'd be shocked just by that fact. I'd be like, are you kidding me? You happen to be here? What, like,
yeah,
but, you know, I think we'll get more emotion in the next episode. I think there's going to be some pushback. I'm hoping there's some tension there. Is what I'm hoping for, but it was a little quippy. I also think like Ezra, my boy, my dude, if she is saying, I want to be happy right now, let's not talk about this. Let's not talk about what's happening. What? I would be questioning that right now. I'd be like, whoa. Actually though, like
seriously.
Yeah. Like, what do you mean you want to stay? Is something not happy? Is everything okay? Like,
and that's the other thing is Ezra's like, Ezra comes off a little foolish here where like he doesn't get that information and then he's like, well, I can't wait to go home. It's like, you don't know that you're going home. And I think that's kind of the point, especially we get like a shot of Sabine where she's like, I don't know that we can't get home. But so.
And this is where like, I have many questions. Like, has Ezra been tracking Thrawn? Did she just like, I have questions about what happened right after Rebels. Did they just like, they ended up on the ship and they were like, all right, peace. You go do your thing. I'm going to do my things on this planet. Did they fight? Like what happened? Thrawn, like what happened that they got separated from each other and then just didn't interact again until ever? They just decided to leave bygones, be got bygones.
Yeah. I was wondering this as well, especially like they kind of, I feel like their fix for this was these crabs are like nomad. They even talked about, oh, we got to pack up and move. You know, I feel like the fact that he's always on the move, he's never going to find him type deal. But yeah, I mean, Sabine's never been here before. And she found him quicker than Thrawn was able to.
Well, and my thought process is, if I'm Ezra, you have seen Thrawn do the impossible multiple times in your experience. You literally had to take yourself and him to another galaxy because you could not just kill him or defeat him. Why are you not doing everything in your power to keep tabs on him or just straight up murder? I guess he can murder because like the Jedi, but like find a way to make sure he can never come back again. You're basically gambling that he's stuck here and there's no way, physical way that he could ever come back. But you also trusted that Sabine would be able to come and find you. But you never thought anyone would do that for Thrawn?
Yeah, this. I hope we get some. There's some splaining to do here, I think.
Listen, I'm still loving it. And I, like I said, these are, if a show is good, I don't mind having these little nitpicks. Yeah. It's not like Secret Invasions where I'm having nitpicks and the show is also hard to watch.
Yeah, I think maybe that's another Tales of the Jedi episode, is like the buddy cop, you know, stranded on the island, you know, like Gilligan's Island type.
Well, this is the other thing. If Ahsoka's trip takes so long, they're telling stories in this hyperspace time. We're Thrawn and Ezra just like, well, we're stuck here now. Should we got any stories for me, Thrawn? Like, there's got to be something there, because it's not like they just instantly appeared back on that planet. There's time in between.
They're like, well, this is awkward. You know, like,
that's what I want. I wanted Tales of the Jedi where it's like the whole plot A is Thrawn and Ezra on this ship, and then there'll be like little shorts that they cut to when they're like, oh, Thrawn, you got any stories? And he'll be like, oh yeah, let me tell you about my cadet days. And then flash to cadet Thrawn, and it'll be great. I love it.
Yeah, so well, Tommy, that is the episode. What's happening next week?
Okay, so I think we spend some time with Ezra in the Noti. I think maybe we have a feast.
Okay.
Like fun old feast. And then Baylan and the bandits come and break up the feast. Feast ruined. There's a huge fight. I think the Noti village, I think all of them die. I think there's going to be, I think fire prediction is going to happen. I'm getting very specific, but there'll be fire. That will happen. And I think eventually Baylan and them will let them go, or something will happen. There will be a mutual understanding, and then they will run back. And then on the Thrawn side, I think Ahsoka's gonna peer up, and they're gonna have something. And then it's gonna, because there's two more episodes, correct?
Yes.
Then that's one episode, and then the episode after that is when everything comes, the two sides all come back together.
Okay. I like the theory. These Disney Plus shows, you can kind of get the beats along the way. Yeah. You know, even in this episode, I'm kind of going back now, but, you know, before she sent off on the wolf, you know, Enoch, he's like, there are raiders out there. And I was like, okay, so next time we come back to Sabine, she's going to have to fight raiders. So
these raiders have great tracking because somehow they always find people.
Yeah. So, like, or maybe there's just so many of them that, like, she's not run into one clan.
Yeah, I guess what always takes me out of these things is, like, these are giant planets. I could go in the middle. There's so many places in America that I could go walk around, and I won't find a single person for hours. For hours, Michael. But somehow they're always able to find people on these planets in Star Wars.
Yeah, I drove from Nashville to Indiana, and there's nothing for miles. It's amazing how... it's just cornfields or nothing. Like, that's most of the country.
Yeah. So. And listen, I get it. Do I want to watch hours of them just by themselves? No. So no. It's fine. But I'm just saying.
We're watching.
I would like to see a couple cornfields.
Yeah. Tommy, do you have any recommendations? What have you been up to?
Oh, gosh. Old jelly beans.
Nothing. I can go first if you want.
I mean, it's just the same old. I'm literally just rinse and repeat. I'm going to make an active effort to watch one new thing a week just so I have something for recommendations.
That's my thing. I used to do that, and that's why I wanted to do recommendations. I don't really do that anymore, but I do have a recommendation.
Oh,
Tommy, did you watch The Traitors?
I did watch The Traitors.
Well, my recommendation is The Traitors. If you haven't seen Traitors season one, go watch it. But there's a reason I'm bringing it up now. Do you know what that reason is?
Do I know that reason? Does Twitter not ever tell people things?
Yeah. So
the cast for Traitors 2, I believe, is what you're going to be talking about, has been released.
Yeah. Absolute icons of the reality TV world. I know, like, the Star Wars people are tuning out at this point, but you get Bananas CT from The Challenge. You get Boston Rob, Parvati, Sandra from Survivor. You get Dan Giesling, Janelle from Big Brother. It's big. Bergie from Love Island.
Bergie feels. I looked at that. What's Bergie doing here?
Are you aware of Bergie?
I wear Bergie.
He's like the practical joke of Love Island. They put like a virgin on Love Island. Like,
I never watched. I didn't watch Love Island, but I would watch TikToks every once in a while. And every time I saw Bergie, I was just like, I felt like I was in on the joke. I'm like, gosh, Bergie, what are you doing?
Bergie be like, can you like teach me how to cuddle? Like, stupid. Something like that.
It'll be interesting. Do you think Traitors? I think they should have spread out their casting a little bit. Listen, I get it. If you get all these people, great. But you're using Parv, Boston Rob, and Sandra.
They're blowing their load.
Yeah. Janelle, like, you're using a lot on one season. But an All-Stars is going to be incredible. When, like, if they do a couple more seasons of this, you get an All-Stars.
Ceree, Rachel Riley, just throw them all together. Yeah. Do you have any other, like, season 3? Yeah, is there anybody that, like, you gotta
Dr.
see?
Will. I think Dr. Will would be a fun comeback, and especially because it seems like this show is more accommodating to these. You know, none of these people are going to go back on Big Brother. None of these people are going to go back on. They don't need it anymore. But Traitors, you're fed well. It's shorter time period. I think a lot. Yep. I think it's a lot more accommodating that you can get a lot of these big names. And a Dr. Will would be very fun to see back on TV.
Okay, well said.
I never thought we'd get Dan again, to be honest.
I'm going to throw one out there. I need Jonathan Pinner on the Traitors. He's just like, what? You know, there's fodder there for sure. So
trying to think. We're going to get some fair play. Fair play could be fun, but honestly, fair play probably fits the House of Villains more than like a Traitors season.
Okay, well, let me throw this at you. This might be a cut. Russell Hantz on the Traitors.
No, because that's not Russell's game. Russell is not a social player, and so I like. And Traitors, I have problems.
What does that stop him?
That's true. I'll tell you what stops him: Australian Survivor. That's what stops Russell Hantz.
Well said. Okay. Well, you know, there's the reality TV corner for all you that care about that.
How's your My Hero watch going? Oh, no. That's
my
recommendation.
I'm way closer to hitting play on One Piece than I am jumping back into My Hero. Right now, I'll get back to it, but I've been looking at One Piece by the end of the year.
Season one by the end of the year.
Okay. I think I can do that.
I do think you would like One Piece, especially the live action. Like, if there's anything I feel confident about, it is that I think you would. I was not ever interested in One Piece. And even I started the anime. It's fine. The live action, I think, is better for me.
I keep hearing this. People keep saying this. So
watch the first episode.
Yeah, I will.
I think the first one is the weakest, but I do think you would still like it.
Okay. All right. We'll see if my problem is I'm very like, I know a lot of like, I listen to other podcasts. Shout out to Kickball Friends. Jesse always talks about how he watches like movies while working. And I'm like, I get like, for me, when I watch, like, I have to give it my full invest, like, no sounds. Yeah. And, like, if I just had a Saturday with no kids that I could just watch My Hero, it would be great. I just don't have that time.
No, that's fair. You want – and that actually you appreciate, because I have, like, just thrown something on and watched and done other things, and you do miss stuff. So I appreciate that. If you want to watch it, you want to actually watch it.
Right. So
– but I think the One Piece, it's – okay. Do you like pirates?
I do like pirates a lot.
Because, okay, Rebecca – is obsessed with the live action. I didn't think she'd like it. I just threw it out there because she's a big Pirates of the Caribbean. I was like, well, it's because she doesn't watch animes with me. But I was like, watch One Piece. Would you? She watched it in one. I literally had to leave to do something. I come back. She binge watched on her own, like six episodes. She's like, I couldn't stop. She has crushes on it. There's Sanji. Don't listen. People's names that Zoro, big crushes in this household for those two.
Oh, wow. Okay. Well, Tommy, let me ask you this, because the One Piece, my understanding of the One Piece world, is everyone a pirate in One Piece?
No.
Okay. Because I was told that everyone's a pirate, and I'm like, it's not really cool to be a pirate when everyone's a pirate.
No, they explain in the first, like, 2 minutes, I would say, even. Okay. They explain what happened in the world, why the era of the pirates is a thing, and what the opposition of them is. Like, what's happening. Okay. So I actually think it's a little more, like, I think you'll like The Hook. And I don't even want to say it.
No pun intended. Arg Hook.
And the pirates each have their own things. And obviously, you know, pirates notoriously all get along, of course. So that's...
And notoriously, they all have superpowers.
And notoriously, well... Notoriously, they all, but that makes it more fun when they all have superpowers, Michael.
Okay, all right. I'm gonna check it out, Tommy. Don't worry.
I want you to check it out right now, though.
Okay. You know what? I might have an hour tonight for episode one. We'll see. I don't like making
little
promises.
Old me.
I don't like making.
No, it's too late. I heard a promise.
Oh no! Here we go. All right, Tommy. What else? Can I close this out?
Yeah, I guess so.
All right. I'd like to remind you guys to rate and review us on iTunes and Spotify, preferably 5 stars. Also, please subscribe, because we're going to be here every single week with Ahsoka coverage. You know what's next, Tommy, after Ahsoka?
Oh, I just Loki, right?
Loki. You know, Tommy, I've been on my no trailer phase a little bit, and I saw that a trailer dropped for it. I haven't watched it.
I haven't watched it either. I don't. Loki was so long ago. Loki's. Yeah. We might need to. I'm gonna need to rewatch Loki season.
We might do a recap episode.
Yeah, because that almost feels night and day. Like the WandaVision. Remember the high days of the WandaVision Loki days.
Oh man, we were so innocent, and we took it for granted. Even
we had such hope. We were like, this is it. This is what you need to do. I should listen back to a couple of those podcasts and see, man.
I think we're back in it. We got Ahsoka. We're coming into Loki. Like, things are good. We're looking up.
Do you think Loki changed at all after the news of the world in MCU and the major news or majors news? Do you think they changed or tweaked what they were going to do in Loki? It was already filmed, though. Yeah, it was already.
I think they're going to do what they're going to do in Loki, like they had planned, and then if anything, they tweak it later.
Okay. Okay.
We'll see. I don't know. It's just a gut instinct. We'll see. Follow us on Instagram and Twitter at Star Wars Pod. Also, we have a little Discord community going on. So if that's something you're interested in, you can hit us up and we will get you in there. But that is all we got for you guys. Thank you so much for listening, and we will see you next time.
Bye.